The Edmonton Oilers, once again, and their fans will be focusing heavily on the draft. This year, it's in Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Will Craig McTavish be able to find any love on the trade dance floor that night? We'll see. We know he tried hard last year. Likely be trying hard again this season. NHL Central Scouting, they came out with their final rankings today. North American skaters, European skaters, North American goalies, and European goalies. The director of NHL Central Scouting, Dan Maher, joins us once again. Dan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Eventually, one of these days, Dan, I'm going to get you on, and we're going to talk about the guys who are ranked like 20th to 30th, not in the top five. That will be music to the ears of Oilers fans, because that means they're actually not drafting in the top five. But we're here again, and Samuel Bennett came out number one for you guys in your final rankings. How close of it was it between him, Ekblad, and Reinhardt?
Again, it's a very fine line to try and distinguish between the top end talent in this year's draft, and the difference for our group, and then Samuel Bennett compared to the others. If you look at a player who elevates his game when it matters the most, and then you want to try and project which player will be able to do that consistently at the next level, at the NHL level, then for us, Sam Bennett is a player that fits that bill best. We really feel he has the potential. Like, he's going to have a Jonathan Toews type of career and type of impact on whatever NHL team that he plays for.
Nice. Wow. That's so other guys might put up maybe more points, but he's a guy who can do everything.
He is a pretty complete player, but he just does it with that mix of skill and competitive edge to his game, and he does it at the timely moment.
That's an interesting one, Dan. Now, when you're sitting down and evaluating guys, like, what are some of the things maybe for our fans out there scouts have? So this is obviously one category that, say, a guy who, when the game's important and it's crunch time, he really elevates. How many games does somebody have to see that guy does that on a continual basis?
Well, a fair amount helps, that's for sure. And the top end of the draft, the players really get scrutinized. And, you know, Bennett, Ekblad, Draisaitl, they've all played. This is their second year in the league. Sam Reinhardt, it's his third year in the league. Sorry, Ekblad, his third year also. So, like, these players, we have seen a lot of them. We've watched them at different camps with U18 or World Juniors. We know their track record. And it's just those players that kind of live up to that billing. And it's an intangible that it does require you to really know the player, to see him play a lot. And, you know, for our guys, you know, we get in there where we'll get to catch him at different times of the year, see him play, you know, 4 to 6 times. But our area guys get to see them a little bit more. And all that gets factored in. But like you said, it's a very fine line when you try and, you know, pinpoint the intangibles for each player.
Dan Maher joins us, a director of Central Scouting. They came out with their final rankings today. You know, Sam Bennett, I've heard some people that talk about, and I know this is getting really maybe picky, that, you know, he's kind of got narrow shoulders, so he's not somebody who's going to fill out, Dan. He's listed right now at 6 feet, 178 pounds. Do you agree with that, or is that something that's, you know, not a big deal just because of his competitiveness regardless of his size?
Well, I can tell you, all the teams will do their own research. Their strength coaches will be involved, and they will try and project the physical maturity that is still yet to come. But he wears number 93 for a reason, because Doug Gilmore was a player that he heard about growing up. I don't think he was old enough to see him play in his day, but he's a player that he knows. And I'll throw another name at you, Patrick Kane. I remember when he got drafted, I was one of the first to say, there's no way he can play in the NHL next year. And yet there he was. So, you know, again, it's really individual with every player as they come along. Samuel Bennett's been able to do it at every level so far. And our projection is that he'll continue on and have a very long NHL career.
Dan, the way the game is going, goals are becoming harder and harder all the time at the NHL level. You might have one 100-point player a year. This year, there might not even be two 90-point guys unless Getzlaf gets 5 points in his final four games. So the players who, you know, have to be offensive but also great defensively, has that changed from a decade, 2 decades ago in the overall evaluation of players? And if guys who are really good offensively but aren't okay defensively, are they getting punished more than they ever were before?
I think the way that the game has evolved and developed, through the junior ranks and at the collegiate level, the players are far more aware that they do have to play more of a two-way game and not that they have to be defensive, but they have to be responsible. So they have to be responsible to play their job. And I think the coaching's gone a long way to develop the players along those lines. But your skilled players still have to be, they're there to score. They're there to generate offense. It's not their primary job to play the defensive roles, but they do have to be prepared to be responsible on the back check. And I think the group of players that are coming up in the last few years, they're well aware of what it takes. And if they don't figure it out, then they spend some time in the minors until they do.
Dan, looking at Reinhart and Bennett, can you compare the two and then contrast their styles?
Well, like I said, Sam Bennett's a little bit more of a dynamic type player. He does everything at a real high pace, and you combine it with that competitive edge that I talked about. Those skills and intangibles allow him to make a difference maker. With Sam Reinhart, this is a guy who probably has the best hockey IQ, hockey sense in this draft class. And where his strength comes in is that, you know, whenever he has the puck, you know, anything could happen. And a teammate better have a stick on the ice to be ready for that pass, because he can make that type of pass that nobody sees coming. But it's the quickness with which he reads the play and makes the decisions. Even when he shoots and passes, like, you know, it's just done with a very good awareness, very good anticipation, and just everything is very quick with his game in that regard. He doesn't play at the same pace as Sam. He's the one, like, you know, he can take control, slow the play down to the speed that he wants things to happen at, but he's always in the right place at the right time. He just knows where to be on the ice.
Interesting you say slow the game down. Kind of like what Patrick Kane does. Like, Patrick Kane, for my money right now in the offensive zone, is maybe the most dangerous player. He can really slow the game down. One of the few guys now and in the fast-paced NHL. Do you see any similarities at all between Reinhart's game and Kane's game?
You can pick points that, you know, are similar, but then also, like, you know, when Patrick Kane wants to do an end-to-end rush, I don't see Sam Reinhart playing that style of a game there. I think that Sam Reinhart can maintain the pace of the play. I think Patrick Kane pushes the pace of the play.
Okay. Dan Maher joins us, director of Central Scouting. Dan, Ekblad, it seems from everybody, is clearly the best defenseman in the draft. I know Hayden Fleury's still a top 10 in your list, but on everybody, they have him as the bona fide number one defenseman. What are the things that you like best about Ekblad's game, and what type of NHL defenseman do you see him being?
Well, the one word that always comes into play when there are discussions on Aaron Ekblad is solid, and that he's just a smart and solid defender. He's going to be a building block for any NHL team going forward. He's a strong skater for his size, and he's actually deceptively quick. His footwork has really improved over the last couple of years to where he's a really strong skater. He handles and distributes the puck well in all three zones. And everything he does is with authority. So he passes with authority. And he's actually developed quite a powerful and accurate shot. You know, put up 23 goals this year. And, you know, after the first year watching him, you wouldn't expect him to be that big of an offensive player. But, you know, every year his numbers have gone up. And this year he's taken that to that next level. But solid, dependable, like, he finds ways to contribute. And sometimes he contributes just by settling the play down. He's one of those players that can take control of what's going on the ice, settle the team down. And he's capable to do that. He recognizes at the key moments in the game when he should do that.
you know, I don't like to put players on a pedestal saying that they'll play in the NHL, but he's going to be projected to vie for an NHL spot sooner than most. And just because of his durability, the way he can play the big minutes, he's going to have a long career. Like, the player that we compare him to the most all the time is Shea Weber.
Does he have Weber's nasty side?
Not to the same degree. And, you know, he's not going to have everything that,
yeah,
that Shea has. When I talk about minutes, the shot, the presence, I do think, though, that because he plays so many minutes now in junior, when he gets to the NHL, he's going to learn how to best utilize his size once he gets there. Like, he's a man-child. You've heard everybody say that about him. So right now, if you try and play overly physical and aggressive in junior hockey at his size, you're going to be in the penalty box a lot. And right now, I believe that once he gets to the NHL, that aspect of his game will be enhanced.
Dan Maher, director of Central Scouting, joins us. Dan, Leon Draisaitl moves up to number four on your ranking. Big center, 6'5". He's already 204 pounds. And, I looked at his quality of teammates compared to a guy like Reinhardt, and Bennett obviously doesn't have the same either. But, you know, Draisaitl, to have the points that he had as a 17-year-old with that size, you know, some people said, well, he's able to dominate because he's physically bigger than kids. And how will that project to the NHL? How do you, or does that come into your evaluation process when you look at a guy who's just physically stronger than a lot of his competitors at this age, but won't necessarily have that advantage when he goes up? How do you equate that?
Well, Draisaitl, he's in our top four, and we still think he's in the mix. That, you know, if a team took him at number one, that wouldn't surprise us. He has the size, reach, and the shot, and That's the presence that he brings on the ice, because they're all excellent assets for him. He's a very difficult guy, hard to check. One of the best puck protection games in this draft class. So he's a strong skater that can power his way through with the puck, always a step ahead on the play. Like, this is a pretty complete package in a player. For him to do what he did coming over from Germany, playing last year in Prince Albert, and then having another continuation of his development this year, it does kind of shows you what he's made out of and what he wants to do, where he wants to get himself. He really started the year out strong and dominated, and then he did his World Juniors with Germany. He just had a stretch in the middle there where he just lost his legs a little bit and just lost his stamina. And, you know, for the European players, sometimes they do hit the wall at that point of the year. But then he came back and finished the year really, really strong, where he was again dominating. So the size for him, it's an asset, but it's not the most important part of his game, because his passing, his vision, they're NHL caliber. He possesses an NHL shot. He can finish. He's a big and rugged center who can dominate. And right now, you know, most of our comparisons are saying, you know, teams will have another Joe Thornton on their hands.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Thornton, his 18-year-old season, he's playing on the fourth line in Boston, didn't put up a lot of points, and obviously, was fighting actually that year more than anything else, and then developed into one of the best players we've seen, definitely one of the best playmakers of the last decade in the NHL. Draisaitl's shot, what about, you talk about puck protection. Is he more of a shooter than a playmaker?
One of the comments you hear most often with players that come from Europe is they look to pass before they shoot. I think one of the benefits for Draisaitl coming over here is that the coaches and the teammates, they've kind of put him in the pattern like, you know, you should be thinking shoot first. But because of the, you know, with Prince Albert, he had to be a playmaker and a scorer, so he had to pick his spots there. But he... I still see him just developing into a really strong playmaking centerman.
Dan, when you look at the history of, bigger players like that, would he be better off, in your mind, all things equal, to spend another year in junior regardless of where he gets drafted and which team he goes to?
Oh, you know, Jason, I'm of the book that 18- and 19-year-olds should be playing junior hockey. So I think that their development path is already accelerated playing at that level. I do think there is more to learn. They learn more about leadership. They have more time to physically mature and develop. They have a little bit more of hockey and life adversity in front of them there. So I think, I'll put it to you this way, and I've done this with many hockey executives. I don't know of any NHL or any player that was hurt by going back and playing junior hockey. I can name you a lot of players that their career may have been hampered by being rushed to the NHL too soon.
Oh, exactly. It's hard to find players whose career struggled because they got an extra year of seasoning.
Exactly.
One last one for you, Dana. We talk about the top picks because, of course, that's what Oilers fans are interested in. Out of, Michael Delcole, Virtanen, Richie, any of those guys you think have a chance at all to jump in, or the top four, kind of the top four?
Oh, I can see any one of that mix going, you know, three, four, five overall in the draft. They've all, again, been really scrutinized by everybody, all NHL teams, staff, and they've all kind of upped and elevated their game and lived up to their reputations or to their billings to where they've made it. You know, and it really is, you know, it's a pretty good top 10 draft. And there's even some kids down later on in that mix of 10 to 20 that'll probably move up a little bit on some teams' charts. But, you know, Richie's still going strong. Perlini finished really strong. Bertinen finished strong. Unfortunately, he got hurt going into the playoffs there. But all those kids have made a mark in the second half where they're deserving to be in that mix of going in the top five.
Dan, as always, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again once it gets closer to the draft as well.
Jason, just when you let off, you made the comment about the Oilers fans and, you know, they don't want to be picking that early in the draft all the time. I'll just tell you from the scouts' perspective, I know the Oilers scouts, they're tired of sitting in that front row. They want to move to the back row, and I can tell you that from experience.
Oh, I'm sure. Your days in Atlanta, it's never fun. It's good, I guess, in a sense, because you know you're getting a good player. You're like, okay, I've been here enough. Now I want to move back.
Yeah,
I get it for sure. Appreciate your time, Dan.
All righty. Take care.